indicating this is the end of the day. So again, a lot here is a great example of what all the slides are that follow. And then you see at the very bottom of this page, new, meaning in this example, kicking off a new day. And the new day is on slide 15. He apparently had breakfast with his, I guess it's one of the people he's working with. Indicates even where they had breakfast, probably for reimbursement reasons. He departs for the departs from breakfast to the incident command post and the time that he arrives there. Then he checks in again with his direct report, Goez. And he's documenting other people that are on his team. Now, later on, we'll see on the 213 on page 1, there's a section for if you're incident commander and you have direct reports. You document, we'll see that in a minute. But this is where he jots down on his steno pad the information for the direct report, his direct reports, others in the cadre or his team, and it indicates the names and their badge numbers. He attends the ops briefing at another time, another briefing. Notice that just about everything that's happening is jotted down on the steno pad. Now that later on we're going to see that we have other forms. You know, we have our activation checklist, and that we've talked about previously, and we've got the a number of other forms. But I would submit that again, he's given us a great example of the fact you jot down everything first here, and again, why? Because the ICS 214 form will be collected at the end of the incident. We'll not have it, and then if we are quizzed either informally or legally why we did or did not do something, a good example here of having a good diary of what happened. Yeah, Jay.
Actually, also there's a note on slide 14, since that's the end of the day, he'd be turning in at 214 at that point. And on slide 15, it actually shows two different days. So he'd be turning in a 214, the top two-thirds of it, and
exactly right.
214 at the bottom.
Exactly right. So see how it flows. It's when you begin to try look at all what he's jotting down, and again, he's being cryptic about it, but it is a blow-by-blow of what's happening. So moving on to 16. Let's see, I think I... Okay, 16. Okay, we've already talked about it. Cinepad is for our own record of the incident. But it needs to be somewhat legible because it could become a legal document. And we need to, of course, keep the steno pad updated at all times. Now it says, keep the steno pad updated at all times. Make it your go-to when writing details or recording facts, figures, dates, or events. Now, what did Wayne tell us to do with the steno pad so that it could be our go-to wherever we were and at the same time keep our hands free so we could operate our radios and do whatever else we needed with our two hands?
Put it in the back of our pants.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons for the steno pad being the narrow pad with the spiral at the top, is that in fact you slide it down between your pants and your shirt. It's out of the way, but it's readily available. So now everybody who's part of Missionville Races, it would be easy to tell us, even if we don't have our badges, because we'll be walking around all the time with a steno pad in her drawers. Moving on, enough editorializing on that. Slide 17, again, it's the same information over and over, but now he's beginning to recap on these slides of steno pad entries the kinds of things that we already saw that he did in that first example that we spent some time looking at. Departure arrival times and mileage, phone contacts and callback numbers. Now, where would phone contacts and callback numbers, where might the callback number be really handy when we're filling out a different form? Where do we put the callback number? Right on. You're on the right track, Jay, I can tell.
Mobilization checklist.
Yeah. So here's a good example for why jotting down this would be handy. Talking about fuel, meals, rest stops, vehicle inspections, obviously accidents, assumed or relieved from a duty assignment. Okay, and in big red letters, every one of these slides, remember, date and time every entry. So we're now on slide 18. Again, more examples. Travel times, departures, arrivals, radio frequencies. Again, radio frequency, we use that on the checklist. Net control operator, call signs, and first names. Again, that's part of the checklist information we need. And so forth. Moving on to 19. Slide 19. And now, guess what? We just transitioned through the material that was supposed to be covered 2 weeks ago, and we're now actually into the new material. But on slide 19, of course, the 214 is a standardized ICS form. It's a requirement in NIMS. That's interesting. I don't remember looking at that slide as I prepared. This is something new. And it would be nice if it was a doc file or a PDF, but for our purposes, it's handwritten. Moving on to 20. Slide 20. Now, it's very interesting. If you take a look at the example of the 214 form that's part of the handouts, and this is for people listening to the tape, it's the reference pertaining to slide 21 and 22. He makes a good point that the front of the ICS 214 should be utilized. Remember, this is one 214 per day. The front is really a high-level summary of what's going on, and then he indicates, and that's the front. And then the back should be utilized for details. Now, I don't remember him saying that in the class.
Your first one should have, of course, the overall information at the top, and then halfway down is where you start the detail, and yeah. The detail continues
yeah.
on his back.
Yeah. Originally, I think in the class when Wayne taught it, he said it would be fill out the top with the name of the incident and your name and call sign and so forth, and operational period from and to. And then immediately turn to the back and just start writing from your steno pad. But here we see a differentiation between the front is kind of a summary, a high level of major things happening, and detail is documented on the back page, which kind of makes sense. You got more lines. So that's food for thought as we go through trying to use the form. Moving on, we're now at slide 21, and and this is where he's talking about there's a numerous different formats for the 214 form. It appears that this is the an example of the fire. This is ZR form on slide 21. This is his ZR 214 ZR. So again, an example of the front. And there's really three sections here. The top, of course, is the incident information. The next section, major section, is for direct reports, if you have any. And then start to chronologize, to write a chronology of various things happening. And then keep on going on the backside, on slide 22. Now, on slide 23, this is his, if you're interested in looking at it on vcn.org, it's the ZR2-11AB-M form or document that explains how to use the 214. And the thing that I found most significant, I guess, about this, if you can read it, it's very small print, is the 214 obviously is submitted at the end of the day to a supervisor, or in our case, incident commander, and it becomes part of the incident documentation package ultimately. Now, Charlie, you write a summary of the various incidents we go out on.
I haven't.
Well, you do the one pager, which you submit to ARRL, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in a sense, you're taking what happened, how many repeaters were used, how many frequencies were used, how many messages were passed, all of those stats, and compose it into, in effect, a one-pager summary or a two-pager summary. I think in our world that's kind of what Wayne is talking about here. As we now move to slide 24, it's a continuation of that document where he explains how to fill out a 214 and any questions about the various fields. There's
one thing on the previous slide, down in the middle of that one. It's things that the next slide
back
the, 23.
Oh, 23. Okay.
Kind of down in the middle of it.
Oh, the one
it
and
says
two?
The things that are not on a non ICS 214 form that you may encounter.
Oh.
Because okay. Ours has got a modification on it.
Yes.
There's no designated block for the call sign.
Yeah, no designated.
Block for assisted resources.
Or assigned, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Anyway, there's some food for thought in this document. Personally, I didn't find it that meaningful to trying to understand how to use the form. I think the other slides are more meaningful.
But one thing that he did note here on slide 24, that in block 11, which is the start of the activity log,
yeah,
that's where you enter the A time and B notable activities as they occur. So that's where, at block 11 on the front of the page, that's where you start the detail stuff. It seems to me that he's not saying that the front of the page is a summary, the details start at the back. Sometimes the details actually start at the front, and there really is no summary.
Yeah. I think you're right. Plus, frankly, if we're going to log in all of the information that